What's up, everybody? David Pollack here of See Ball, Get Ball podcast. I hope you like it, man. Be sure to follow the show wherever you subscribe, YouTube, or any of your other platforms. All right, everybody, welcome on in to See Ball, Get Ball. I'm excited you guys have continued to join us. I hope everybody had a great Father's Day. Always a fun day to celebrate those that help you get where you're at, and then obviously your little ones celebrating you, which I thought was really funny. I told my son, I was like, hey, Nicholas, you want to go play golf? And he's like, yeah, because it's Father's Day. And I was like, if you don't want to play, don't play. Like, I don't want to play with you just because it's Father's Day. Thank you. But, like, we'll take that off the table. But always
love
fun
you too.
Always fun to have that. I'm David Pollack. Brent Rollins joins us as always. And, man, the U.S. Open was fun to watch as well. And so I'm sure a lot of y'all celebrated Father's Day while watching and had the rain delay. And then J.J. Spawn hitting the amazing putt to end it. Like, just
got home just in time to see that.
Yeah. And it was really cool, Brent. I had an awesome opportunity through a friend and through a business relationship. I went Saturday and we had his suite is on 18. And I literally sat in his suite right there. And I looked at that green and I'm like, my gosh, this green is miserable. Like, it's got such a front run up to it. The back half just dips and falls off a cliff. This side goes like this. And then that dude, JJ, hits that putt like an unbelievable, miraculous putt. And I'm literally thinking there, I was just watching this. And if he two putts this, it's good. And he wins. Yeah. But a two putt is going to be extremely difficult. And that dude just
nailed it.
Bam! Awesome.
It was phenomenal to watch, but now that you say that, I saw the video that you posted from showing that, and I think you said something about how many fairways you hitting. That was the
question. Zero.
I didn't realize that was 18.
Oh, yeah, that was 18. Click.
So your viewpoint of that video basically is where that putt is coming from.
It was coming. It would have come right at me down the hill, right to where we were at.
That's fantastic. Now, I will say, I have to call 1,000% BS on something else that you posted, by the way.
What?
Because we all know that you didn't taste a thing in that bakery.
No. Oakmont Bakery. No, but I gained 7 pounds just looking at everything.
Okay. Osmosis. You gained it by osmosis.
Yeah,
we darn sure know that you did not taste anything.
So Oakmont Bakery was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. You walk in, Brent, and you walk to the left probably 50 yards. And then 25 yards. And you got 25 yards to the right. And the whole bakery counter, bro, it's everything you can imagine. Like, everything possible. Every kind of cupcake, every kind of pie, every kind of dessert. My buddy I was with, he was like, you know, do you want anything? I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. Like, this is too, there's too much going
better
on.
Than to ask that.
Like, there's a kiosk and there's three or four counters. And I'm just like, I just want a coffee, but I don't even know how to get that. I'm good. Like, I'm good. I just leave me alone. Like, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go outside. But, you know, what was interesting watching walking around to the holes of the tournament and seeing it is just that rough. And Brent, I'm a decent golfer. I'm like a 10 or 11 handicap, something in that range at my club. And that's really all I play. And then I'll play some other courses, you know, just occasionally. I'm not getting under 200 on that course. I mean, that's how good the difference is between really, really good golfers. The rough was stupid. I mean, I could have played hide and seek in the rough. I could have just dove in there and you've been like, you can't find me. Like, it was incredible. And to watch those guys execute up close at that level, it's just, you just realize the levels to, and listen, I realize the levels with the NFL and seeing that the best of the best and the NBA and seeing that and meeting those guys and stuff. And then you see that and you're just like, that's incredible. Those guys are silly. It's just not human.
They are pros for a reason. And when the guy that wins it is what he finished one under, right? Because he made that putt. Was that what his final, I think, was?
Yeah,
he would have been even, but he finished one under. Like, that just goes for an entire tournament. That's ridiculous in terms of how good that was. Father's Day also, it always reminds me, Father's Day too, is like, I'm probably just not very good at this. I'm probably screwing this up royally in some way. It's always, it just, because it's about, you know, it's about you as a dad. It's like, you know, focus on you, or you talk to your own father, things like that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm probably just not good at this. I hope you guys are okay. Please be okay one of these days.
Do y'all do gifts?
No. Well, actually, yeah. This year, yes. Well, no, take that back. No, not this year. Not really ever. It's usually like, hey, what do you want to do?
I've always told my wife, I'm like, babe, I'm a father 365. Like, I don't need a day. Like, And the kids, obviously, they're getting older. So they bought stuff through Lindsay, and we had some games. You know, that's like, I'm in. That's amazing. We got like these bucket games and this dart game, and we were literally throwing it all over the house, and Lindsay was not happy. I'm like, you should have never let him get this. Like, that's your fault. Like, you know good and well, if it's a game and we can compete, I'm in. And so she got frustrated with that.
Well, it was a good day, though. It was a good day all around. There is college football stuff, because that's what we're here to talk about. News-wise, a little bit of news. Pete Thamel, who I'm quite certain might be joining us later in the week, he talked about realignment a little bit with Texas State and maybe moving to the Pac-12 and how there's more realignment coming for those type of conferences. So that's not as big of news, but we'll let him talk about that this week. And then also Chris Vanini, that works for The Athletic, talked about how I think it's the FBS Oversight Committee was expected to have a call today and discuss sort of getting into that single transfer portal window. And that evidently the lean right now is January as when that single window would be. So those are kind of the newsy items.
It's got to happen, man. And it's got to happen. And we've talked about it ad nauseum, so I'm not going to beat it to death, man. But like this will make college football better. It doesn't take anything away from the players. It doesn't take anything away from money-making opportunities for everybody involved and everybody flourishing and thriving. It just limits the amount of movement. So you can build rosters better. You have more you have more ability to stick with it. You have more ability to build your team, which is good. There's nothing negative about it, Brent. I think it's a absolute great thing for college football.
Agreed. And I think I even saw a quote from the article, Texas Tech coach Joey McGuire, who also was previously on the podcast. He wants it in January. He's like, hey, I want my team so I can go through winter and go through spring. That's my team. Go through end of the season with all that. So he was another that was sort of in favor of that. Now, last week we had sort of a fun, and we need to tweet that out just to get it out there. Our two fantasy football teams, our college fantasy football teams. So a mutual friend of ours, James Argo of Oconee Gold Fame, get you some. Actually, he told me about how he's been doing college fantasy football for a long time. Texted me a picture today, 2006 fantasy football draft, college fantasy football draft. Number one pick, Adrian Peterson.
By the way,
like, written on paper.
The
written
number on one like, pick in the history of college football, probably. Like that was a no-brainer. I mean, that dude, the runaway freight train
so the top, was. Top five. Top seven in their little draft. Adrian Peterson, Cody Hodges. Do you remember Cody Hodges?
Wow.
Of Texas Tech fame. Reggie McNeil, Chris Leak, Brad Smith. Brad Smith was one I thought would be a good – he had a big-time year that year from Missouri.
Missouri?
Yeah. And then Drew Tate and Vince Young. Those were the top seven guys. Some other – Chad Henne, Lawrence Maroney. So, yeah, fantasy football in college, it's been going around for a while. But today we're going to talk about awards. And it's kind of into that – season of predictions and looking ahead and what do we think might actually happen. And the first one we're going to look at is the biggest one that everyone discusses and pays attention to. And I think you actually have a vote, right? And that would be the Heisman. So
I have a vote for almost all of these awards we're going to go through, but I think it's cool.
And you've actually won a lot of these awards that we're going to go through.
This is the C-ball get ball preseason award show. I like that. Like we're crowning
The pre-watch list, watch list, because yeah, all these like awards this. Come out with watch lists and you know, there's odds and things like that out there. But yeah, we're going to give our sort of take on some of these before we get rolling. So just before we get into the Heisman, let me give you the odds just to kind of put it out there at least as to who the betting market is looking at. So Arch Manning right now is the favorite. Then Garrett Nussmeier, Cade Klubnik, Jeremiah Smith, Drew Aller. Those are the top five. Julian Sain, Ohio State QB at six. DJ Lagway, Mateer, and then Lenore Sellers. And everybody after that's kind of the odds go way, way up and up and up in terms of the actual betting part of that. But those are the favorites. And the five ones are the five returning big ones with Arch, Nussmeier, Klubnik, Jeremiah Smith, and Aller. So,
all right. So I want to give my questions context first, because I know you're going to give your questions. I know you, like, you always come loaded, and that's one of my favorite parts. Here's what's crazy. QBs, seven of the last 10 have been QBs, QB winners. So that's important to always keep in mind. Like, there are great football players in college football. And this is not a great football award show. And the Heisman Trophy is not about being a great football player. Most of the time, you got to be a really great football player on a really great team. Like, that is a prerequisite. I hate that. As a voter, I hate that. Like, I think the best players should be the Heisman Trophy winner. But some people are going to argue that the best player, you should carry your team. I don't think you can always do that with the pieces around you. So seven of the last 10 winners, 11 of the last 14 have been quarterbacks. That's a part of it, man. Here's what I think is going to change, Brent. Travis Hunter last year, and I think moving forward with our era, with the amount of parity now in college football, I think it's going to lend itself to the best player more. Like, I think the days of this being a quarterback award is going to be less. I think it's going to continue to be the best player, because Colorado wasn't any good. Like, They weren't a dominant football team last year. They weren't in the college football playoffs.
Right.
They weren't one of those teams that we looked at and we're like, man, that's one of the best teams in college football. At no point did we ever think that about them. But Travis Hunter obviously was a unicorn too with his positions. But I just do think moving forward, we're going to see more of this. Like, we're going to see more of the best player winning, because I think it'll be spaced out because there's not going to be as many dominant teams in college football.
Well, I even mentioned last week, and I'll kind of go back to it, that three of the last 5 years we've had a wide receiver and that's either won it or been a finalist, with Devontae Smith, and then you throw in Marvin Harrison Jr. Before that, you had to go back over 20 years, and you only had two that were finalists, and Larry Fitzgerald and Randy Moss. So Jeremiah Smith being that high in the odds, I think, kind of goes to show that they're looking at it that way. The interesting part with you saying that is, what about the defensive component of that? Do you ever think, or do you think that it's still truly almost an offensive award exclusively?
Well, it's so hard to quantitatively measure the impact on a game defensively without just stupid numbers. So I say, even if you have stupid numbers, it's still not going to make the impact of touchdowns. If you're going to be a defensive player and win, you have to touch the football. You have to. Caleb Downs.
A la Charles Woodson.
Caleb Downs has to punt return. You know, has to have three or four punt returns, which he returned punts for Ohio State a little bit last year. Like, you have to have something outside of just defense, because here's the thing about defense too. You can be a really dominant player. They can run away from you. They can avoid throwing at you. Like, your stats just – and listen, that's why running backs don't – I think the advent of the mobile quarterback also kills running backs, because they're running in for touchdowns now. So, you know, guys are also padding. The guys that are throwing for 4,000 are now rushing for 500. So, you know, it's not as impressive to watch everybody else run the football for 2,000 yards, 1,500 yards. And you go, okay, well, they had 500 and 4,000 passing and 30-something touchdowns. So it's got to be a good set of circumstances for – other people to win other than quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are going to be the favorite. That's why they're winning the most. But I do think, you know, we'll continue to put numbers are going to rule the day. Like, numbers are going to have to be a big part of it. And when you put up so many touchdowns, so many passing yards, so many rushing yards, it's going to lend itself to a quarterback.
Yeah. All right. So we're also going to look at some of the other awards, individual awards, like the Lombardi, Outland, Benarek. But all right, so Heisman, though, you just want to give me your who would you have as the finalist, and maybe even I don't know if you have a pick for a winner. I have a lean. I don't know that I have a pick, but I definitely have four finalists that I wrote down.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. I'm not a betting man. I'm never going to bet. It's just not my thing. It's too hard to make money to give it away. Here's what I'll say. To me, I'm going to start with this, Brent. By far, the best odds on the board, to me, is Sam Levitt. Like, give me Sam Levitt. Like, I think it's plus 2,500, right? Like, that's – he's the guy that –
3,300 on FanDuel. So yeah.
Okay. And I'm not putting him below three as best quarterbacks in college football. So you play the most important position. I think they're going to be in the college football playoff hunt. They're going to be a highly ranked team for the season. They're going to put up silly numbers. He's going to run it. He's going to throw it. Like, I think that's really, really good odds, man. Like, he didn't stay healthy a year ago, and it cost him some with a setback and missing some time. But, like, that to me stood out as odds. Give me that right now. Like, yes. Right now. So that one, and I'll give you one other because I don't know that he's going to be here, but I want to mention him. Dante Moore, a transfer from UCLA. He's at Oregon now. He's the quarterback. If you're watching Will Stein and you're watching Dan Lanning and you're watching Oregon, Brent, they're not getting worse, okay? Their trajectory is continuing to climb and be great. Gonna be in the hunt. Do you think Bo Nix was in the hunt? Yes. Do you think our boy last year, Mr. Little Lefty, was in the hunt? Absolutely.
He was a finalist. Yep.
Yeah. Dylan Gabriel was a finalist. Like, so I'm looking for value outside of the top guys. Like, Oregon quarterbacks has had success. They go to this ceremony. Like, these are guys that have been there and in the mix. So I think that that's another guy. So those are two guys off the radar. I don't know if you had one off the radar, but like, I love doing those things because you immediately go to the top few guys and you don't really talk about the other guys, I think, that are going to be there and that deserve sometimes to get mentioned.
When you talk about systems, Julian Sain, like, has the sixth best odds right now. Playing in Ohio State system and throwing to those receivers, you're going to put up crazy, ridiculous numbers. And you're going to put guys, you know, Stroud, Haskins, you're going to put those guys in New York for the ceremony. My off the sort of beaten path one, I guess, further down, little even lower odds than Levitt, which, by the way, Levitt was one of my four in terms of guys that I think are going to be a finalist. So I had Sam Levitt as one of the four.
Well, that means you should love that 2,500 odds. Like, that means you should be all over that because you got him as your finalist.
Kevin Jennings, SMU. I think he's going to have more opportunities this year in a bigger game sense. And if you look at him statistically over the last sort of part of, especially that last part of the season, if he stays healthy and gets the running part of it, I think that's somebody that's kind of, hey, out of not of these main guys that might end up being there.
Here's what I like about what you're saying. You see the freaky, see the explosive, the fun, the highlights. Like, that's why I think it's a good call. Now, I can't get Penn State out of my mind. Like, it just runs around in my lid. And the first half of Clemson, I think they had 0 points, didn't they? Like, they were a non-factor. Struggling. Like, it was – and if Kevin Jennings will master the mundane, the boring,
easy,
the foot fundamentals, the just relax,
the layups,
sit in the pocket, take the easy stuff, And can stay healthy, though, with the running, because that's the thing with him. He's very slightly built, but I agree. He's got the wow factor. He's got a good system. RJ Maryland coming back will be huge for that offense because that dude's an explosive tight end, like really, really good tight end, and could be a big-time playmaker for SMU and company.
All right, so who are your other finalists?
All right, well, Manning, I agree with this. I agree with one being the first odds because of so many reasons, and let me lay them out. His name's Manning. That's a really good place to start. Like, really good place to start. He's the quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. That's a really good place to be. I don't think they're below three in anybody's prediction to probably start the season. Like, third in the nation. That's a really – these are all super positive things. He's going to play in big-time games. His name, all that stuff is obviously a big deal. Here's another thing. He showed me the ability to run, obviously, and showed everybody, but also the deep ball, the deep plays, the explosive plays down the field. If you can put those up and make those big plays, you're going to put up big numbers. Does anybody doubt Steve Sarkisian and his play calling? Like, if you do, you're not very bright. Like, that dude, That dude makes everyone look better and everyone better. On top of all of that, man, like, how is he not the clear-cut favorite to be the Heisman front runner?
So I actually did not put him in my four finalists. And the reason I didn't is because of what you just said, not getting Kevin Jennings and the Penn State out of your head. If he goes and has a stinker at Ohio State and they don't play well opening game, that might just kind of be an anchor for him to not be. He'd have to go win at Georgia, go win the SEC. Like, he'd have to overcome a lot because of their schedule not having as many of the marquee games if he doesn't play well in that first game against Ohio State, because, like, that's as big as it gets week one. So that was one reason I didn't keep him. All right, so you had Arjun Levitt. Who else?
Cade Klubnik. I mean, Cade Klubnik has to be again. Clemson's team is going to be great. Like, I've been on record. We're all in over here, baby. Like, all in. Cade Klubnik, 43 touchdowns a year ago, almost 500 rushing. Guess who's back, Brent? Everybody. Like, everybody. Line, throwing even. The best wide receiving core, top to bottom, in college football. Like, top to bottom. Like, I think they got four guys that are going to play in the NFL. Like, at least four guys that are going to play in the NFL. Here's another thing that I want to throw out there, Brent, and I want people to realize. Cade Klubnik against an elite Texas defense threw for 336. He threw for three touchdowns. He's the only one that made that Texas defense look very average. Like, he made big play after big play. Again, no running game. I mean, I just think another year maturity. He put up the big numbers. He was very successful. And now, you know, next on the list, I don't think he goes backwards. I think he showed you the explosive playmaking down the field. I don't see how he's not there. I really don't. I don't see how Clemson's not in the national championship picture this year. That's why I'm all in, baby.
Yep. So Jeremiah Smith was my other. Klubnik was one, was the other, and then Jeremiah Smith. I just think he's just scratching the surface. He's going to dominate. And it's going to, even if the quarterback puts up ridiculous numbers, I think it's going to be looked at more so of a function of him and what he does as a force multiplier for their offense. So,
we watch tape. We love this stuff. Jeremiah Smith was open a lot last year. Abuka took a lot of the touches, which he's gone. Like, I'm going to force feed this dude. Like, I'm going to make sure, because the one thing that I think that's the most special about Jeremiah Smith, and the list is lengthy. It's really, really long. 50-50 balls for most great receivers become 60-40, 70-30. I think that grown ace man at what he is able to do, I think it's 90-10.
Yeah.
I mean,
80-20, if it's anywhere in the vicinity.
80-20 at worst, throw it up to him, let him go make plays. I hear what you're saying. Nussmeier deserves to be mentioned. I just think that here's what we've seen, by the way, in the past, in the history. We've seen Jaden Daniels go year one, year two. Joe Burrow, year one, year two. Yep. Both go win Heismans as the quarterback spot for LSU. Last year was his first year starting. 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns. And let me tell you something. That dude makes more wow throws than anybody in the country. I could put together a list of wow throws. Yep. He's at the top. I don't care what you say. Like, I can give you Cade Klubnik. I can give you Levitt, who we're slobbering all over, and all Drew Aller, all these guys that we can start throwing in that mix. That dude's wow plays are better than all of them. And if he cuts back on some of those mistakes and they win, and by the way, Klubnik, Nussmeier, week one, also week one. A big deal. Arch, Jeremiah Smith, Julian Sain, who could get in that mix. Like, we got some showdowns early in the season that we're just going to be like, oh, I'm just – get your popcorn ready. The greatest sport on the planet.
Week one. Week one will be there. All right, so in terms of lean – oh, but two other things. Two other long shots out of nowhere that I think
– like that. I like that.
Throw especially there. If you're the odds person. Because of the statistical component, Damon Williams Jr. at Washington. If he's going to go throw for 300 and rush for 100 every game and put up touchdowns galore and they start winning, I think he's – because he's like plus 6,500 or something like that.
I love that. I love that from a talent perspective, but you're forgetting the winning component. And yes. I don't I don't know. No shot. Like, I love it. He should be. Those are the kind of guys that you want to mention their name because of what they can do. Like, the way he finished should give Washington fans a whole lot of confidence that he's a dude and can be really, really good. So I'm with that. But like, the boxes you have to check.
That one, that last box might not be there. But finalist though, you know, if you're not necessarily to win it, but finalist. And then the last one is literally the last name on the list that I looked at plus 50,000. That would be Colin Simmons. Because I think there's a world where he just completely is the best player on the field every game and sacks and strip sacks and is a just force for them at this year. But again, he's a defensive player.
You would
player.
Think here on C ball, get ball, like, again, play defense. That's why the name is the name. See it, go get it. That's what we do. Like, I would love to rally behind that, and I would love to support you. And I love that you just did that. No shot.
No shot.
Absolutely no shot. If he those breaks odds the NCAA are that for sack record, no shot. Like, they're just not going to give it to someone who doesn't score touchdowns in some capacity.
Yeah, I agree. But it was a fun look at, and it's like, hey, I got $10. I can throw it on that. Maybe, you know, if that was your thing. If that was your thing. But, yeah, I keep the $10 as well. All right, so the other ones, the other individual awards, we're going to look at the Lombardi, which is the most outstanding lineman who displays exceptional performance and ability while embodying the character and discipline of Vince Lombardi. I went and read the descriptions of these various awards. You won that one, 2004, right? Let's see. The Bednarik Award, which is just listed as the nation's best defensive player. And then the Outland Trophy, which is nation's best interior lineman on offense or defense, which I think is also interesting because, you know, often last year a tackle won it, offensive tackle. So, but that's just me weird. Nerding.
That one's the strangest to predict and also to kind of figure out because it's offense and defense and you're like, what? I don't know. I think that one's harder to guess. Out of all of these, that one's the hardest. Like, what do we really – like, I love when it's very centric and it's like, okay, we're doing the best defensive player, defensive lineman, offensive lineman. I'd love for the Outland just to be offensive line. Like, let that be the way you win it, but whatever. It's all good.
And then lastly, we're going to look at the Broyles Award, which is the nation's top assistant coach. And I think that one is as interesting as any of these, actually. So
that's pretty cool.
First one, all right, we're going to combo Lombardi and Outland since it's an offense and defensive line type lineman award. So I'll go through a couple of names first. I'll go O-lineman names first. Caden Proctor at Bama. Spencer Fanoa at Utah. Jake Slaughter, center at Florida.
Florida.
Just a few names that I think
I love that you mentioned all those guys. Caden Proctor physically is always the – I mean, he just looks the part. Like, he looks
– top recruit for a reason.
He looks like an NFL tackle. He looks like that guy, big, huge, strong. Remember, he's the guy that went in the portal, had the Iowa experience, got paid, dipped out, went back to Alabama, which is why we want one season for a transfer portal, and we don't want that happening in college football.
That was
a big, strong sucker. Looks the part. Slaughter for Florida is a baller, just a baller. I wrote down his name too. 728 snaps a year ago. One QB hit at center in the middle of your defense. Now, that's pretty dang good. And he's an absolute baller. So I can get down with both of those guys. And it's an interesting award, like I said. Are you going to do like a winner?
Well, so, I mean, with Lombardi and Outland, this is more of my watch list.
I like that better because there's a lot that's
I've got one that I've got highlighted because – I think I'm saying that right. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. But the kid from Utah, the tackle from Utah, absolutely dominated a year ago.
And I'm surprised he's still there. I'm surprised somebody didn't go give him a shoot ton of money because
– or they didn't go pro. So
yeah, that dude is one of the most physical players in all of the game. Like, he is – he's really, really good. I don't think he could have gone pro yet.
Yeah, I was thinking he was
– yeah, I don't think he could go pro, but like –
that's right.
Hey, you know what's fun? It's fun to watch somebody bear with me here for a second, listeners, that likes to put their hands on people and that want to move people against their will. I love like there's just not as much nasty going on in the world today. And nasty is a good thing. Not like, like I'm talking about nasty in a good way. Like people that want to be a little bit nasty that don't want to be your friend. Like I love that on the football field. And he's got a lot of that. Like he is fun to watch and one of the most physical players in all of college football. It's really, really fun to watch. Like you could put a tape together of his stuff that would just be fantastic.
Jennings Dunker from Iowa was another name. Francis Mauigoa, I think is how I say it. It's how you say it at Miami. Another yeah. name. And then one I think that is going to, especially if Jeremiah Love has a crazy good season, is Emil Wagner at Notre Dame. And I think he's one from an offensive line perspective that could potentially win. Because last year, by the way, Kelvin Banks won both of these awards, the Lombardi and the
which
Allen.
Which is so which stupid. It's not a knock on him. He was a great player. I'm just saying, like, that's why I would love to have it differentiated.
One offense, one defense, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, give love to the offensive line, give love to the defensive line.
If I had a lean, I would go Fano out of Utah. That would be my lean, at least from if you're going to give one of them to an offensive lineman. If one of them those awards go to an offensive lineman. Any other commentary, any other watch list individuals that you have there?
As long as we're highlighting these guys and giving them love, like I think we're doing a good job of giving the offensive lineman love. That's what we needed to do. Now let's go to the defensive line.
All right. By the way, one other name I had written down, Armage Reed-Adams at A&M, the guard. He's pretty darn good, and he's going to get on these lists. All right, defensive linemen. It starts at Clemson with Woods and Parker. Those are two that it just instantaneously, because of one who they play for, and Parker, because of his statistics and how he dominated last year, I think he's one that
Here's front the runner. Here's the thing about this. When you're Peter Woods and you have TJ Parker, you're better. When you're TJ Parker and you have Peter Woods, you're better. And that's where I think, as much as anybody in the country, I mean, TJ Parker obviously comes, he's the sack leader coming back with 12 from a year ago. Like, I can speak to this, and I have many a times. My sophomore year was my most productive year because I had a first-round pick at defensive tackle, and it made my life easy. When he won and the ball spilled out to me, I got a sack. I might not have even won. And vice versa. Sometimes I made that guy step up. And when I made him step up in the pocket, he got a sack. So Peter Woods, TJ Parker, a lot of Peters, and that just messes me up. But I think Parker and Woods are going to very much benefit from each other's success. And they're going to be absolute heck on wheels. And has a chance to be the most disruptive defensive line in all of college football.
Yeah, he's one in terms of front runner that I started for that one just because of that fact that you have that teammate right there with you. Others stayed to the edge because I think that's where more of the dominant players are this year, more so than the interior, especially because I think if you're an interior player and you win this award or one of these awards, you've got to be someone that gets after the passer like crazy. Stupid. And that's not as much like Woods is really kind of only one that's that. All the other true defensive interior guys are more.
I actually think great run defenders could be that guy
at Florida.
I'll give you two other guys on the interior. Two, because I think Aaron Graves from Iowa has that potential to be that guy. Like you can tell he's a wrestler. Like, but he's had 12 sacks the last 2 years and got some quickness. He's not as dominant in the run game because he's not 315 like daggum Peter Woods is. But you can see that. And then Caleb Banks from Florida, dude, you talk about upside, Brent, and like 6'5", long, like twitchy, gets to the quarterback, can be disruptive as a mug. Like he's a guy that I think will win at a high rate inside. But you're right. Yeah. Again, people go like this. I'm voting for this award. Hold on. How many sacks did you have?
Sacks.
Oh, you had pressures. You had 12 pressures. And people don't understand. When you're in the interior, you got to go through a center and a guard. Like, you got to beat both of them. Exterior, you got to beat a tackle most of the time. So it's a lot harder to make a big difference on the inside and really win and get those numbers. But you can tremendously affect the game. But those edge guys, Brent, that are going to be in the mix to me, Dylan Stewart. Like Dylan Stewart from South Carolina.
Yep.
Like as a freshman a year ago, he had so many moments that you went, oh, okay. Like that's different. And to me, the feel for the pass rushing game was really special for a freshman to be able to rush up the field and win outside, but also win inside, but not too much. Because if I get inside too much and I give up the edge, like I get, my coaches get pissed at me. I'll never forget, by the way, got in the NFL and I rushing the passer, come inside, they step outside, make a play. He's like, bro, what are you doing? You don't lose contain. And I'm like, well, I almost got a sack. Like he overset me. So I went inside at Georgia. Like, yeah, you just go do that. And you go make a play. He was like, nah, bro, we don't do that. Like, so here's what you learn. If you do it and make the sack, you're good. But if you miss, yeah, you might get chastised and you might get yelled at. So just don't miss. But I just thought he had a really, really good feel for that as a freshman and one of the most dominant defensive linemen in all of the country.
Yep. Mikhail Kamara from Indiana.
Yeah.
On the edge. David Bailey transferred.
He was so good. Like that dude was
big. Like a lot of length. Yeah, but he had, not like small, twitchy. You know, he's not a speed guy.
No, but he's got ninja hands. He's got ninja hands for sure. Like he's putting them things on you. He's got some violent hands and knows how to get rid of blockers. And he's played a lot of football and he's a complete player.
David Bailey, who's now at Texas Tech. Denied Dennis Sutton at Penn State, Reuben Bain at Miami, Mateo Uiagalelei at Oregon. Those are some of the other names that are going to be on the watch list, at least early in the season.
Yeah.
For me. I do agree, though.
Colin Simmons?
Well, I kind of did earlier.
Okay. I was just making sure you didn't omit that there. I mean, if you're putting him in the Heisman conversation, you're obviously putting him up for the Bednarik Award or for the Lombardi Award. Excuse me.
Yes. All right. So Bednarik, I think, is a little more fun because it goes to any defensive player. So I've got one big time lean with this one. But I'll let you maybe go to see if you have other. I'll let you get through some of your.
I mean, this one to me is, I feel like the easy. This one was the easiest. Like, I feel like I know who the winner is going to be already. And I think it's Caleb Downs. Like, if you're going to ask me to pick the winner, first of all, whenever you're nominated for an award the year before, it's a really good sign that you'll be back. He's the only one coming back from that list. He has the name recognition. He's gonna be a guy that's gonna be talked about a lot. He's an elite football player. He knows how to do it at multiple levels. He knows how to do a various amounts of things. Like, I just think with his versatility, that you got to be a guy that brings a lot to the game to win it. Like, you got to bring a bunch of different stats, and I think he's going to bring the defensive stats and interceptions and deflections and tackles and big plays, and I think that he's clearly, to me, the front runner.
So I guess for me, maybe then I need to say it's more 1A, 1B.
Okay.
Because it's him, and then it's Anthony Hill Jr. from Texas. Because I think
he can do everything.
Because he's going to be involved in every facet of the game. That I think, and he'll get sacks. He'll, he's going to have a couple INTs. He's going to have big plays all over the place. That I think he's 1A or he's 1B to Downs 1A on this. Two other ones that I think are interesting just because of how they played, how they've played at points in their career. And if they put it together for a season and if their team elevates, I think there, but Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins Jr. at LSU. Because
Whit Weeks, man, that dude was all over the field a year ago. I mean, he was fast, physical, sacks, fumbles, interceptions. Like, that dude was – celebrations were fantastic. I mean, he did a little bit of everything that was really impressive. So, I understand that for sure.
Some others, because I think this one gets more into the – especially historically, the linebacker group. So, you've got C.J. Allen at Georgia – Deontay Lawson at Bama.
Bama,
Austin, yeah. Austin Romaine at Kansas State. And then Gabe Akis at Illinois, who's one I think that could be, as their profile rises, he could be there. Michael Taft was the other name that I wrote down for this because if he just, as a returning guy, leader of the secondary, makes a bunch of big plays. All right, so last one, Broyles Award. I think this is – probably one of the more fun ones, awards to look at from a preseason list.
Because I love that you added this. I agree. I vote on this every year too, by the way.
because it talks about it. It's a lot of it's almost you're predicting how the season's going to go because of who you're looking at for this award. So I'll give three names, and then I'll let you go from there.
Okay.
First one, Marcus Arroyo.
Yep.
Arizona State's offensive coordinator, who was a finalist a year ago, like we'd already kind of talked about some of these there. Another one, Garrett Riley, offensive coordinator at Clemson. But Arroyo, by the way, offensive coordinator at Arizona State. Garrett Riley, offensive coordinator at Clemson, who won it at TCU. If they take another whole leap and just have a dominating, you know, regular season and into the playoffs, there's one. And then the third name is if money actually pays and turns into production and victories, Shiel Wood, defensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator at Texas Tech. That's one I think that could get a whole lot of interest.
That's interesting because you the only one that I put on my list that you did was Marcus Arroyo. And here's who I put on my list. Bryant Haynes, IU DC, Indiana DC, who was really good last year, a finalist a year ago. I think Indiana is going to be really good again. I have no reason to believe they won't be, and I think that he'll be on this list and he'll be a finalist again. Pete Kwiatkowski from Texas. They're going to be legit. He was there a year ago. I think I think their defense is going to be so nasty and so good in the back end, along with the pass rush. Like, I just think that's a combination for success for him. And big university, being there before, like, I'm not going to be surprised if he wins that puppy. And then my boy, who you know I love, Andy Koltunecki. Like, Koltunecki from Penn State, with the running backs back, with Aller back, the experience, new tight ends that are going to pop up, an offensive line that's better, I think, than they've had in a while. Koltunecki's going to be there. He's going to win it. If you ask me, the first two guys I'm gotten on the list, I got Kwiatkowski for the defensive side of the ball. I got Koltunecki for the offensive side of the ball. But history's kind of showing us recently that the DCs get more love at this than the offensive coordinators. And I'll lean my boy Kwiatkowski from Texas.
Al Golden from Notre Dame won it a year ago. I actually wrote down. You went with Koltunecki. I wrote down Jim Knowles on my list because if they go now and beat Ohio State and take a leap as a team, I think that will be one. And then a couple of the names, which is interesting, by the way, in terms of looking at it from a prediction standpoint. You brought up the Indiana defense coordinator. I wrote down the Indiana offense coordinator, Mike Shanahan, because if Mendoza – and he takes a big leap and they stay sort of in the playoff conversation.
Which we think they're going to.
Right. Ben Arbuckle at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
If you completely, you bring your QB and you completely turn around the offense and make it.
You go from here to here quickly at OU and they're going to be like, God dang, that dude just flipped the script.
Great coach. You know, that there. And then Blake Baker at LSU. If they, you know, go into Death Valley, Clemson's Death Valley, and win, and then they have a really good SEC season and are part of the playoff picture. That's one. And then Brian Hartline at Ohio State, if you know, new offensive coordinator, and they sort of, you know, new QB, new OC, and you do great things. Now, granted, everybody knows you got great talent, but that's in terms of winning the award, that might be there. So, but my lean was actually in terms of what here was Garrett Riley.
Just because I get it, but he wanted
Klubnik there, all that.
He won in 2022, and I just that's pretty close to winning it again. Yes, it was at a different school, but you got anything else, big homie?
No, I think that's it. I think what you looked at in terms of all these various awards, as we talk through these, what did you not hear a lot of? By the way,
are you going to say Georgia?
I was just going to say SEC in general, outside of Texas outside of some Texas conversation with defensive players. I mean, a little bit of Arch, but you didn't really hear a lot of, you know, sort of the traditional powers that be in the SEC as a part of these individual awards. And even when we looked at it from the coaching perspective, a little bit here, there, but it's not like it's we've talked about it before. The talent is spread out.
Yeah.
In the country more so than in any other time.
Well, and you're going to talk about some of these SEC guys, but they're going to be transfers and they're on other rosters. Caleb Downs, defensive player of the year. Exactly. that was one thing that was strange with looking at the Heisman. Like the last three winners were transfer quarterbacks. The last three quarterbacks to win it were transfers. Guess what? Travis Hunter was a transfer.
Transfer. Like,
it's a part of college football, the movement now, and you're going to go to opportunities that really maximize your abilities. Like that's a smart thing that you do in business. You want to go places that you're going to go from here. Maybe your stock goes from here to here and you get compensated along the way. Excited about Wednesday. We'll get Pete Thamel in here, but also excited. That was fun, man. Our first C-ball, get ball preseason watch list before a lot of the other ones come out. But thanks again to all you, man. Y'all all continuing to watch. We're continuing to grow, and we appreciate that so much. And we'll keep putting out content, man, because it is the greatest sport on the planet, and it's getting closer and closer. I know you feel it. We feel it, and it's absolutely outstanding. We're getting close to the season starting, but looking forward to Wednesday, and we'll catch up with Pete Thamel and talk about the ever changes in alignment and all the different things that are in college football.